Hey, Steve.
Hi, Ben. How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Excellent. 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 Well, I got to tell you, my friend, you are absolutely, and you guys know this, obviously, otherwise you wouldn't be doing it, you are absolutely at the beginning of the whole Internet of Things and machine-to-machine communications and all that. It's so incredibly early on, and you guys are doing smart things.
Yeah, we feel sometimes like we're behind with other things, but it's very exciting. It's very scary at the same time, since our team has limited hardware experience, and we're saying that's our to our benefit. We're not doing it like everyone else, but yep. it's a crazy thing. So yeah.
Well, it looks it looks good. You sent over some early info. When's it going to go live on Kickstarter?
So Kickstarter's process is frustratingly opaque. They got back to us on Monday after we submitted an application on Friday, and they said that they would like to see us add a production timeline to the information, and so we added that within about half hour or hour of when they asked for it, and then didn't hear anything yesterday, and so we're just hoping to hear today to get the approval. And then once you get the approval, you can kind of pick when you go live, and I think our inclination is to still do it soon after we get the approval, so like today or tomorrow. If it were Friday or something, then we might wait till Monday, but I'm like really pumped up to do it. So
yeah. Well, so tell me about Smart Things. Why did you guys start this, and who's involved, and what is it, and what does it do?
Yeah. Well, we started it because we kind of look around and we're looking at the things in our homes, looking at the things in our offices, and wondering like, why can't they be doing more for us? Why can't I interact with these things yet? I mean, they all have a lot of them have some level of intelligence in them already, but they're not tied together at all. So that, you know, that was one of the ideas. The actual impetus was one of the founders, Alex Hawkinson, has a cabin, and he had his pipes freeze, and then water got all over, and he didn't know for like weeks and weeks.
Oh, geez.
If he would have had just a $10 little sensor on the ground that could tell him when there was moisture, or a temperature sensor that could tell him the temp, he could have known that right away and like probably saved thousands of dollars worth of damage. So that was just like one little thing, and he's like, why couldn't I do that already right now?
Yep.
And so, yeah, that's how we started to do it. And, you know, the team of us, which includes Scott and Jesse, my co-founders at Refactor, as well as Alex Hawkinson, Andrew Brooks, James Stolp, and Jeff Hagens, those four were all with us when we got purchased by – when a project that they brought to us, at this point 5 years ago, got purchased by Reach Local. They all kind of got sucked in with us to that project for a while. And now, earlier this year, all of us are free and clear of that obligation. And so we always knew we were going to start something. We thought maybe we'd give ourselves some breathing time and not start anything right away, but this sort of like came upon us, and we were like, yeah, this looks like something big enough and ambitious enough, so let's try it.
Yeah, well, it definitely is that, for sure. And for those who are listening, if you don't know what this whole Internet of Things is all about, it's all about devices being able to communicate their data and their environment and their status and all of that back to some central device, and which is great and interesting. But what you guys have done that I thought was really different and sort of cutting edge is that you're really tying in not only smartphones and having apps. So the extensibility of this, you know, whoever can come up with any kind of dweebazarb sensor is going to be able to plug in to your system, right?
Yeah, that's one of the three main things, yeah.
Yeah, so it's really modular, so that was cool. And the second cool thing was is that you guys are relatively protocol agnostic, right? So it's Ethernet, cell, Zigbee, Z-Wave, Bluetooth, and of course with Bluetooth 4 being low power, that's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
And so was that really part and parcel of the genesis of this thing, was to make it a platform that you know, makers and others could extend real easily?
For sure. Yeah, that's I would consider that the third leg of what we're trying to do. I don't want to scare consumers away too much by talking about, oh yeah, you can like solder this module to your coffee maker.
But right.
That is definitely one of the things that is there. We want to enable, you know, basically makers, so people who are going to take the soldering iron out, to like create brand new devices that we've not even thought of, to even software developers who have maybe a web software skill set and haven't really thought about programming physical devices before, but now with that skill set, they're still able to with these rule sets that we're creating. And so, we'd like to get some of that like development out of the hands of the Uber hardware hackers and into just regular, you know, garden variety hackers. That's one thing. But you know, our main point is to get these devices into the people's hands and houses so they can do things that we really should be doing by now. You know, our house should be able to know when we're home. Like, why wouldn't our house be able to know that? You know, I just feel like there's things like that that that's what I'm really excited about. I would start this company and build all this stuff just so I could walk up to my front door and it would unlock for me, and then I walk in, and then when I leave, it locks. That's enough for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, my dream is I want to be able to have the house be smart enough to be able to understand the ambient light outside and close the curtains automatically.
That is a big one for me too.
Yeah.
My wife takes all the curtains down at night, but I like them up during the day. But I'm also lazy enough to not want to open them and close them every day. And so if I could do something where they were like on a motorized thing and they could do that, that'd be great.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, how many times have you come home? I'm sure you have automatic lights where you've come home and, you know, there's like six lights on in the house and all the curtains are open. So it's like the burglars can just walk by and look in and say, oh, nobody's home. All the lights are on. But, it's stuff like that. But just the thing that kind of pumped me was when you guys did the Facebook page and you had all of the hinting at different device types, you know, plugs and lamp modules and a mystery module that some guy's looks like he's plugging in something on the side of a module. But in a lot of ways, it looked like, I hate to even say this, but I'm going to say it anyway, because this was my first reaction. The old X10 system, which was cool, kind of, but then people that like me that had two sides of the electrical panel in their house and you had to put a bridge in to be able to have X10 go throughout the house and have a little hard wired module that you could punch and so forth. And then Control 4 came out and I saw Control 4. In fact, I was with Doug Olson. We were at a consumer electronics show, you know, Doug from Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
And he and I went by the Control 4 booth, and it was absolutely phenomenal, the kinds of things that they could do. But the cost of the product and the fact that it was really an installer-centric adventure. You know, you couldn't just go in and buy, like potentially what you'll be able to do with SmartThings, go in and buy is it a router that has the antenna on it?
That's like, the thing that has the antenna on it. And it only has the antenna because it's got cellular on it.
Okay.
But we're for the Kickstarter campaign, cellular is definitely our stretch goal. We have working hubs with cellular in it right now. The FCC gets involved a lot more with that. And so we're working on a hub that is Ethernet, still with Zigbee and Z-Wave and Bluetooth things, but it's Ethernet only, and then probably going to allow the option for people to take the cellular version if they want. But that's where that antenna comes in. It was one of the things I didn't like about that. I was like, oh, why does it have to have this antenna? But everyone we've talked to says if you try to internalize that, you're asking for a lot more trouble. So
yeah, yeah.
Plus, that thing can sit in the corner. You know, no one has to really look at it once you like plug it in.
Yep. Well, and it's again, the thing that we've already talked about, but that I really thought was great was the extensibility and the platform nature, because no matter what, I don't care how smart you guys are and how many ideas you have and different market spaces that you think that you could penetrate, you can't do it all, and you can't do it all by yourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been looking at, because my dad's 86 now and he's got home health care, and I'm looking at the whole space and thinking, you know, hey, geez, you know, 73 million baby boomers retired by I think it's 2020 or 2026. And, you know, all of them are going to want as much automation as possible. And so I'm assuming that with Ethernet, this thing, you could, obviously you could have an IP and you could punch a hole through your router if you wanted to and access this from the outside.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't think that you'll even need to do that, because once you plug it into your connection, your Ethernet connection, or if it has a cellular connection, it's just going to communicate with a cloud that we're creating. So it's a cloud app, and so it just needs the connection, and then in those times when you're interacting with your phone or you're doing something from away, you're actually hitting the cloud first. The cloud sends the messages down to the hub, and then the hub communicates with all the things in the house. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so that's kind of like one of the things that's different, you know, a little bit about what we're doing. I think you touched on, you know, your point about, you know, yeah, Control 4 and these other services, they're very... you know, they are very appealing. They have similar goals as ours, but they're just not accessible. And like, we really do want to make it so you can go down to your, you know, hardware store, pick up a device that already can communicate with ours,
yep.
And then just like plug it in and have it work. And so that's the main goal. We're working on that. We've got four devices right now that we have operational, including a power outlet, an open shut sensor, a motion sensor, and a presence sensor. But then we've already like been working on testing a lot of other things like door locks and thermostats and smoke alarms and things like that we hope to have ready by the end of the Kickstarter, or the Kickstarter delivery dates. Yeah. But we just we don't want to say for sure, because we don't want to be like every other Kickstarter project that like has their date slip. So yeah. We're trying to pick the ones that we have confidence that we can deliver in. So yeah, very cool. You know, it's funny, amongst all the people that we've talked to leading up to this launch, you're probably the person who I've heard describe it in ways that like we describe it. You get it the most. We don't have as very, very much like, you know, explanation to do with you, which is funny.
Well, I think more and more people are going to be aware of what's going on, especially once you guys get out there and people start to use it and start to write about it. I mean, you know, it's little stuff like I pride myself on trying to know, trying to see all this stuff and trying to really understand it and connect the dots and all of that. But I'm having dinner with my brother-in-law, who has a high-end audio and video installation company. And that, you know, there's all these mansion installs and all that. And I was telling him about all. I think I live in a Faraday cage, because my Wi-Fi, no matter what, I can't get the. I got repeaters around the house and everything else. I can't get my signal above 62%. And he laughed at me and he just said, "Well, use a Mocha device." And I said, "What's that?" And so we looked it up on my phone right there. MOCA. It's a Ethernet over cable, over coax. And you buy two boxes for, you know, $125 at Amazon, and you plug one into your router, and you plug the cable from the wall into the box and so on, and then now all of a sudden you can put if you wanted to, you could put another access point in another part of the house, and it just was really interesting. But So to that point, you know, even somebody like me who thinks that he sees everything, I can't. You know, it's impossible to really get your arms around everything, and I think you guys will end up. First of all, I think this is going to be wildly well accepted. And you guys are going to try to raise how much?
The goal is $250,000. We've been lucky enough to have some funds that we've put to this already. And, you know, the main goal of our Kickstarter campaign isn't to raise funds as much as sort of gauge consumer, you know, value to this and excitement and sort of use it as a marketing tool. But, yeah, I mean, aside from, you know, $250,000 non equity diluting dollars is not nothing. So that's also going to be good. But it's the, almost all of that like goes to the fulfillment of these things to the people. So
okay, well, and as you and I both know, there's nothing better than the purity of a Kickstarter campaign, because you know right away whether or not anyone cares.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty amazing, but.
It's true, and we've had a couple reactions to this when we like kind of show this to people. And the first reaction is like, "Wow, that's really cool." You know, I could see a lot of uses for that. And then the second reaction is, "Can you guys really do this?" You know, there's like sort of incredulity. says that you know, it's a big task. Like, you know, the big companies aren't coming out with things yet for whatever reason. Although I'm sure that they, all of them have something in the works. Why can you do this now or whatever? So. We're trying to prove to them that, you know, we've actually done a lot of due diligence. It's not something that we're not launching this Kickstarter campaign with the idea of this. We've been working on this pretty much like full time for the last 4 months. We've got our own hardware, you know, circuit board that we've like gone through several iterations on and have had them printed. We've done like, you know, enclosure designs and 3D renderings of those and all this stuff. So, you know, I think we've got the infrastructure in place and the team. It's not just the seven of us, but it's, you know, some electrical engineers and some, you know, other developers and some, you know, other designers. And so our team is growing. And so, yeah, it's not just us. And, you know, we're going to ship this thing, but we hope that the Kickstarter community gets behind it.
Yeah. Well, I think you'd be pleasantly surprised of what happens. Because there's a lot of interest in this space, so one last question would be, obviously you're doing all these things concurrently, and one of the key components obviously is the user experience when it comes to the cloud app, to the web app, or the access to it. Is the web app going to be a dashboard or a fully configurable sort of thing, so that if you want to add modules, you can do that? Or do you just, is the idea that, you know, I would go to the hardware store and let's say I would buy three lamp modules and I want to schedule those so it looks like I'm walking from my living room up the stairs to my bedroom and then turning the light on up there, so I want to time it. Mm-hmm. And things like that. So would I be able to, for example, you know, sort of coordinate and orchestrate things with the web app and plug the devices in? Do I have to register the devices? Do they automatically register?
Yeah, that's you know, those are good questions, and you actually outlined another key app idea that we have. So, you know, we have this concept of apps that you could install, and most of them are going to just be like free apps that people are sharing. Like if you have three motion sensors and three lamp modules, you can do this. And like the app could be, make it look like I'm home when I'm not. Yep. The idea would be you could grab those things. If you happen to grab the lamp modules that we sort of like pre-screened and said, yes, we know these work. Then when you plug them in, the goal is that they just sort of, appear in the app because they've communicated with the hub. Yep. Already. Now, we know that there's going to be hundreds of devices that we aren't going to be able to pre-screen, at least initially. And so we want to give a mechanism for even those to connect. And I'm not sure exactly what that is yet. But if they're like the pre-screen devices where we say, hey, if you buy any of these brand devices, those will work. Yeah, the idea is like, okay, that shows in. And then you can say, all right, I want to turn this lamp on in, you know, at this time, this lamp on, 2 minutes after that, this lamp on, 2 minutes after that. Yeah, that would be a perfect example of how it could work. And we're hoping to have that happen through the mobile app and through the web app. We're unsure right now how much configuration is desirable through the mobile app versus how much of that is just some sort of status checking and a few minor actions. But really, like once you buy all your things and like set up all these apps or rule sets. We're hoping that you actually don't have to interact with it much at all. Then it just sort of like has a life of its own, and it's based on like your presence in the house or your lack of presence in the house or whatever.
Well, because one of the things that the reason that I asked the register question, for example, was my old neighbors that were next door must have gone out and bought a Sleep Number bed, because one night I'm laying in bed and all of a sudden, you know, the engine turns on, starts blowing up the bed. And then my wife goes, oh, somebody's letting air out of the side of my bed. Well, it turns out they had bought a Sleep Number bed next door. So they were, their master bedroom's not that far from ours. And so there was enough, they could communicate across. And so, you know, I'm thinking about condos and apartments and, you know, so if I have a device and I buy a device, how does it know my base station?
Yeah,
you know, and how do I make sure that that device can't be controlled by the guy next door that's got a SmartThings base station?
That's an interesting point, and it'll be something that we'll have to look at. So we're also going to be selling the things that we sort of like put our stamp on, like through our, well, for lack of a better word right now, Things Store. If you buy those through us and you have an account, we're going to pre-register them to your device before they even ship.
Oh, good.
And so then you get them and they won't be like set up to work with anyone else, but they'll work with yours right out of the box. That whole like, you know, self-registration thing with the devices, that's still like, we're still actively underway. We're buying like, you know, dozens of devices from different stores and seeing like what it would take to get them to register themselves. Because, you know, even if we embrace the Zigbee and Z-Wave standards, which we are planning to, there's still like each device has its own little variation on what sort of data it sends, you know, with it. And so there's all sorts of little things. And what we're doing is we're going to take a few of those key devices, hopefully around a dozen, and say, okay, these are the ones that they're going to be rock solid. They're going to send only the data that we want. And, you know, you get those and it'll be really easy. But we want to make it easy. You know, we also want to make it available to have any device that uses Zigbee or Z-Wave or potentially other ones like Wi-Fi or whatever. But we just don't know yet.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what didn't I ask that I should have?
You know, you've asked some good things. We're hoping to get all these things into the people's hands who help us on Kickstarter by the end of the year. So that's very aggressive. Is something that. And that's probably the thing that worries me the most. But you know, I'm thinking that the campaign will be successful. I'm thinking that this will resonate with people. You know, we've heard as much on Facebook, and everyone we've talked to has been pretty excited about it. And so, yeah, I mean, I think it's just us getting and doing the work. If we have a uber successful Kickstarter campaign, it's going to change some of the speed at which we do things. Mm-hmm. It'll definitely like get us to be saying like, okay, hey, let's like have this be the focus of, you know, more people and like really, you know, get the engine going faster. But yeah, I don't know. We're actively, you know, some people ask us like, why Kickstart? Why not just like get investment and go? And that is a legitimate question. We've had offers of seed money and that sort of thing. Right now, we're really using Kickstarter as like a gauge, like I mentioned before. We want to definitely see how it's received, and then that can hopefully inform us later when we probably will end up taking some investment. So,
well, and I think it's a on a personal note, I think it's a great marketing tool to get the word out. You know, there for quite a period of time, maybe a year and a half, 2 years, the wood behind the bat to get your name out was TechCrunch. Oh, I got to get a post on TechCrunch. Oh, I got to get Arrington to spend some time and attention with us. And now, in a lot of ways, it's Kickstarter, because if you do in fact get out there, and all of a sudden, boom, it starts to hit right away. It's on everybody's radar. You know, it hits Hacker News, and it's on everybody's radar screen. So I think I personally think it's just a great marketing tool as well.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Well, excellent.
All right. Well, I'll get you some more information when I know exactly when this thing is going to go live to the world, and try to keep you in the loop as we have big occurrences, because, you know, you guys were like the first people talking about it publicly, and I was a little worried when I heard that you're just going to, you know, have a little bit of a discussion about it without knowing. But then I listened to it, and I was like, oh, I didn't even need to be there. You know, you pretty much knew exactly what it was that we were doing.
So. Well, so let me ask you this: can I do a post or not?
Well, I mean, you could certainly do a post. I feel like it would, you know, at some point today, I'm anticipating that we know the exact timing for the launch. If you wanted to like time it with that or have that in the post, that
yep.
could be.
Why don't I do that? Because I would like to have a graphic, you know, maybe do a screenshot of the
Kickstarter.
Yeah, you know, something like that.
I sent you the draft.
I've got it. I just don't want to do it until you're ready.
Right.
So it's up to you guys. So I mean, I can get it ready and have this audio interview all set.
Yeah, that would be cool. And, if we don't know or get approved today, like I'm just going to go crazy. So we're gonna be pushing for them to let us know today. And if we know today, we'll launch today or tomorrow. So you'll know.
Will you send me an email and let me know?
I will.
Okay, and then I'll get something up.
All right.
Good.
Well, thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Ben.
Yeah. Talk to you later.
Okay.